Old Testament, what I told you in brief Wednesday night, prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you inquired about our Savior and his weeping when he was on earth, we read of it three times. Two of them you can put your finger on. The one that I'm going to read you about in Hebrews 5 has to be searched out, but it can be found. So look in Hebrews chapter 5, and I will have abbreviated readings because I told you last Wednesday. Let's look at verse 7. Concerning our Savior, it says, who in the days of his flesh, do you remember the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So notice carefully these words. It says that sometime in the days of his flesh, he, with strong crying and tears, prayed unto his Father, who was able to save him out of death. And it tells us, having been heard for his godly fear. And so that's all I want to bring to your attention in this portion. He prayed, he was heard for his godly fear. I'll read you other portions presently. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, let us know that some things are very private in our lives. Let us know that we pray in public, but then, as your Son said, go into the closet and shut the door. And let us know that there are some things that we pray there that we would only want you to know about. And yet, let it show us thy Son in his most intimate moments with thee. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, and also, Father, when he was upon the cross of Calvary. These prayers are so sacred, our God, that we would hardly intrude by reading them. And yet, thou hast placed them in thy word, and thou hast tell us that the word of God is to be searched. And so we would do that, our Father. We thank you for the preciousness of the prayers of thy Son, and we pray that our hearts might be blessed because of them. So help us this night to understand, to regard with reverence these things that were uttered by thy Son. So, Father, for the blessings of the day, we give thee thanks, and we look forward to ending the day with hearing thy voice from the Scriptures. Help us, we pray, and forgive us our sins because we confess them, as you promised. Cleanse us and forgive us. And we ask all these things, praying for thy Son to be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. I will tell you this, first of all, you will find that our Savior, at the grave of Lazarus, and at the overlooking of Jerusalem, just before he was crucified, he prayed and he wept. In John 11, it says Jesus wept. It's the faintest kind of weeping. He shed tears. That in Luke's Gospel, when it says that Jesus was overlooking the city of Jerusalem that he knew was going to be destroyed, it said Jesus cried. He shed tears in abundance. But now, here is a third reference to our Savior shedding tears, and it said he shed these tears with strong crying when he offered supplication and prayers unto God. And most people, and if we did not have the Old Testament giving us the details of it, it would be the most logical place to look, said that this prayer was offered in the Garden of Gethsemane. But there was no mention there of our Savior shedding tears. His prayer to the Father, if it were possible to remove the cup from him, that is contained there. But there's no reference that our Savior shed tears there. But what we have to understand is that earlier in his life than in the life of any other, the Son, now God manifest in the flesh, had been communing in prayer with his Father. Before Mary, his mother, and Joseph knew it, he was communing with his Father. This is what he says in the Psalms. He said, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, since my mother bare me. Thou didst make me to trust when I was upon my mother's breast. Is that not a remarkable thing? Who ever heard of a little child upon his mother's breast trusting God? But this is what our Savior tells us in Psalm 22. Some of the things that are not recorded in the histories of our Savior in the Gospels, some of the most secret, the most sacred things are recorded in the Psalms. And especially in Psalm 16 and Psalm 22 and Psalm 69 and in Psalm 102. Now, since I have the time, I'm going to show you how to connect these things together. How it says that in the days of his flesh, so it means that the Lord Jesus was praying for himself. The Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh prayed for mankind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus prayed for Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. So, from his infancy until the hour of his death, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying. He was praying for others, and he was praying for himself. But in this instance, the Savior's prayer, as that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, concerned himself. His prayer upon the cross also concerned himself. But we do not have recorded in the Gospels the fullness of the words spoken by the Savior to his Father, because they probably were uttered from his heart in secret, as you and I pray to God at times in silence. When a message is being spoken and loved ones are present, we are saying in our hearts, O God, drive this truth home to the heart of my loved one. And in like manner, upon the cross, there were certain words that Christ uttered that he wanted men to hear, but there are certain words that Christ uttered to his Father that we would never know, that no one ever heard. And yet God, before the Son became flesh, had recorded those words for us. So remember now, it says, in the days of his flesh, he cried unto God with strong crying and tears. He offered up prayers and supplications, and accompanied with those were strong crying and tears. So let's look at Psalm 102, and this is what is going to be so remarkable when we see how the inspired authors of Scripture have pieced together things that I confess I would not have discovered, and yet they have told us these things. So let's look at Psalm 102. Look at the heading of that psalm, A Prayer of the Afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Verse 1, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Now what we have here is an atmosphere, the feeling, the emotions in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Listen to them. Verse 3, for my days consume away like smoke, and my bones are burned as a firebrand. My heart is smitten like grass and withered, for I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my flesh. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am become as an owl of the waste places. I watch and am become like a sparrow that is alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day. They that are mad against me do curse by me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. This prayer that is uttered in Psalm 102 is mingled with weeping. And it says in Hebrews 5, he offered up prayers with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him out of death. And we have in this psalm a son praying to his father. Some of it is a depiction of the emotions going on inside his soul. But some of these very words are the ones uttered by our Savior to his father, which we shall see in a moment. But please look at verse 11. He says, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Look at verse 17. He hath regarded the prayer of the destitute, and hath not despised their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the sighing of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, that men may declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Now, this is the prayer that our Savior uttered on the cross. He is telling himself his emotions. Look at verse 23. The Savior says concerning his father, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Now, starting at verse 25, it is not a continuation of the prayer of the Son, but it is the answer of the Father. And that I will show you in a moment. Please notice again the prayer of the Son, verse 23. He is telling what he is experiencing in his soul. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. But now listen, and then you will see these words again when I read them to you in the New Testament. Of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. Just keep those words in your mind, and now turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Because the prayer that Christ prayed in Hebrews 5, he offered prayer and supplication unto God with strong crying and tears. I read you what that prayer was, and now I'm going to read you the answer to that prayer and the words that the Father spoke back to Christ that strengthened his soul. Now, look at verse 8, that of the Son he saith, so this is the Father speaking of the Son, of the Son he saith, look at verse 10, of the Son also he says, Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a mantle shalt thou roll them up, as a garment, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. These are the words that the Father uttered to the Son, when the Son, with strong crying, offered unto the Father supplications and prayers. So there is an intercourse between the Father and the Son that God, in His graciousness, has permitted our unholy eyes to read and to be aware of. But understand this, before we go into the details of the answered prayer that the Father gave to the Son, let's think a little bit about the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Turn to Psalm 102 now, because I've shown you from Hebrews 1 that this is the answer to the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. And in Psalm 102, we found that it fitted the description about strong crying and tears. And now in Psalm 102, let's see what the Lord Jesus says concerning himself at verse 23. Psalm 102, verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. The remarkable thing is this, that throughout the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we never read of his being weakened. We read of his being upheld. We read of his growing weary. We read of his sleeping. But we never read of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ as being taken away. But here the Lord Jesus is saying that his Father, his God, weakened his strength in the way he shortened his days. I want you to think now to help you understand it, and I will show it to you, that for 40 years, when Moses was 80, until the time he was 120 years of age, what the Father did for the Son, God did for Moses in the Old Testament. And I want you to look at it. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. So often you can understand what God says of one man by comparing it with something similar that he says about another man. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and look at verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Notice what Moses says and what he's experienced for the first time in his life. He says, I'm 120 years old, and I suddenly realize that I can no more go out nor come in. Now we must contrast that with chapter 34. Look at chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, and look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. It means this, that for all those 40 years, when Moses was not only 80, but 80 years of age, when some of us that are getting up to near 80, we feel weakness and our strength is going from us. Moses was imparted special strength from God beginning at the year 80 to 120. And think how he went through 40 years and he did not need glasses. His natural force was not abated. He was strong all the days that he served as a guide to Israel through the wilderness. But suddenly, he realized at the age of 120, when he was going to die, he said, I can no longer go out and come in. It's not that he gradually had been getting weaker and weaker, not for all the years God had miraculously sustained him, but then Moses knew what it was to have his strength weakened in the way. And then he felt in himself what others had been feeling as for 40 years they were dying in the wilderness. They became old and decrepit, and they were not able to go on, and suddenly they perished. But Moses had never had that experience before. And I must tell you this concerning myself. Until I was 67 years of age, I never knew anything about sickness. Never. Until about a year ago, I never knew anything about sickness. When I was a child, I had those diseases, measles and things like that, and accidents. But I was never sick my whole life long. Colds, we all have those. But I mean, I knew nothing of sickness. But then, when I was 67 years old, I knew what all you other folks had been complaining about your whole life long. I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't enter into it until that year, experientially. Before, I would pray, I would visit, I could sympathize, but I'd never experienced that before. Now, our Savior, in his lifetime, had never had this experience of God taking his supporting hand from him until this day in his life. And he said, he weakened my strength in the way. And then the Lord Jesus suddenly realized what, in a different way, that Samson realized. Samson, his whole life long, had been supernaturally strong. But then he gave way the secret of his strength, and then Delilah had his locks shorn. And when they were shorn, he'd been telling her this. He said, if my locks are shorn, I shall be weak like any other man. And he did not know that his locks had been shorn. But then he woke up from his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times. And he did not know that his strength had departed from him. And then, instead of laying hold on the Philistines and doing them an injury, the Philistines laid hold on him, and he was powerless to overcome them. And so God weakened Samson's strength in the way. And so for the first time in Samson's life, he knew what it was when other men had felt his strong arm take them and dash them to the ground. Now he knew what it was to be weak and someone else to be stronger and take him by their arms and blind him and make him grind as a beast of burden at the grist mill. And now the Lord Jesus, no sin, but the Lord Jesus, for the first time in his life, has experienced this kind of weakness when he says, he weakened my strength in the way. And he began to feel this weakness in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because when an angel came from heaven, it said the angel strengthened him. Because God had weakened his strength in the way, but God in his goodness sent the angel to strengthen him to endure the physical necessity of going to the cross of Calvary. And so this is what the Savior is experiencing, and he is saying this to himself. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Now, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is telling us in Psalm 102 what God tells us throughout the book of Hebrews. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same. The Lord Jesus was strong, but he had never known what it was as God to be weary, to sleep, to be hungry. He had never had those experiences. But when he became a man, He did. And at the end of his life, he experienced not only weariness, but he experienced weakness, and also he understood that other beings, human beings, flesh and blood beings, had experienced when it was time for him to die. It was an experience that the Lord Jesus had never had. He became flesh that he might die. God cannot die. God never has a cessation of being. But the Lord Jesus' physical body died. And the Lord Jesus, who had laid his hands on the sick and had healed them for those 3 days and nights when he was in the tomb, the body of the Lord Jesus was lifeless. His spirit and soul were with the Father. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But until the Father raised him from the dead the third day, the Lord Jesus' body was in the tomb. And there was not only weakness, but there was death as well. And the Lord Jesus had never had that experience before. Weariness, weakness, and then death. But then an experience that was completely foreign to the Savior was to take place. And that was the Savior being made sin. It says, "Him who knew no sin," the Lord Jesus, "God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so this is the Lord Jesus. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience, and he was obedient unto death. He experienced physical death, and he experienced that separation from his God. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's the only human being who has ever cried that to the Father, and it's been true. You and I may say, "Oh, God has forsaken me." God has never forsaken one man. God has said just the opposite. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But at times we feel that God has forsaken us, but God has never forsaken us. Some think he has. But some, like Joseph, know that he has never forsaken us. Joseph in prison from the time he was 17 until the time he was 30. And God was with him. And his brothers were not aware of it. But Joseph knew all along. He said, "God meant it for good." And so the only man who could ever say that he had been forsaken of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke the truth. And the Father, God, abandoned him. Now, this, though, and I want it to encourage your soul, as the Lord Jesus received encouragement when he was hanging on the cross, look at what the Father told him. Turn to Psalm 102, but no, let's read it in Hebrews. In Hebrews, I will give it to you as it's found in Hebrews, and as we've heard what the Savior said to the Father, he said, "He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, take me not away in the midst of my days." That's the prayer that he prayed. Now, with those feelings within his soul, this is the answer that the Father gave him. Look in chapter 1 at verse 10. 1 verse 10. Notice it said, "And being heard for his godly fear," he was heard. And this is what the Father told him before he raised him from the dead. He says, "Thou, Lord," and this is the Father speaking to the Son. The Father says to the Son, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou endurest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. As a mantle shalt thou roll them up. As a garment they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." This is what the Father told his Son when the Savior in his humanity is saying, "He weakened my strength in the way. Oh God, take me not away in the midst of my days." And the Father, speaking to the Son, reminds him that he is God manifest in the flesh. He reminds him of two things, that this universe in which he finds himself was created by the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some say that Jesus isn't God. The Father said to him, "The heavens are the works of thy hands." He tells him that. And concerning the Savior being taken away in the midst of his days, he is going to be dead for those 3 days. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. But also, the Lord Jesus, having been told this by the Father, now speaks these words to us that we may hear him. The Lord Jesus says, having been told, that thy days shall not fail. The Lord Jesus says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the paths of life. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And all of these things, these intercourses between the Father and the Son, are taking place silently, but in reality, in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is speaking to the Father and having these feelings of weakness and abandonment, but at the same time, when they are felt, the Father speaks these words of encouragement. And then the Lord Jesus says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. The Lord Jesus knows that the cup must be drunk. He says, the cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? It must be drunk. But he knows that it is the cup that shall last only those 3 days. And the Lord Jesus anticipates being with his Father. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And these are the feelings and the emotions of the Lord Jesus. But this is why he can be a merciful and faithful high priest. This is why it says that the Lord Jesus is not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I want us to consider for a moment also how in our times of depression, the Lord Jesus also had his time of depression. Listen to the feelings of his soul. He said, I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl. I'm like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The Lord Jesus knew loneliness. He knew what it was to be abandoned. Now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But a handful did receive him, trusting the Savior, and they were followers of him. But the Lord Jesus said, you all shall forsake me. And when in the garden the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ came, it said, they all forsook him and fled. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said, and you shall leave me alone. But I am not alone, but my Father is with me. And so now, the Lord Jesus is left alone with his Father. But then on the cross he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Utter loneliness and abandonment, and you will never experience that. I may forsake you. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And the Lord Jesus was abandoned by all on earth and his heavenly Father as well. He is the one who has had every human experience to a degree that you and I know nothing of. And the Lord Jesus is praying to his God. And whereas there is that weakness, there is at the same time the strengthening by the angel physically and the strengthening in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually by the Father conveying to him that he is eternal. Now notice, you going to be taken away? He said, before there was any universe, you were the one who brought this universe into being. And he said, and another thing, after this universe is folded up, is rolled up like a mantle, you shall continue and your years shall not fail. Now, what more does the Lord Jesus need to be told by the Father? And so, with this in his soul, conveyed to him by the Father, the Savior says, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And he anticipates his resurrection. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the Lord Jesus says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gives up the ghost. And that is the experience of our Savior in Hebrews 5. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that we who are unworthy to hear of such things have been told these things from the Word of God. Father, the intimacy between you and your Son, what you said to him, what he said to you, the things that he experienced in his soul, our God, we thank you. And yet all of his weaknesses give us strength, and the fact that he was forsaken gives us strength, knowing that we shall never be abandoned, we shall never be forsaken. And our Father, let us know that unless thy Son comes, we are going to die. But we are so glad that there is that certainty of the resurrection. And we are glad that where thy Son is gone, we shall go. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And thy Son knew where he was going, and all of us who have trusted in his precious blood know where we are going. So, Father, how often we falter, how often we are lonely, how often our faith grows small. But we pray that thou shalt strengthen us physically and spiritually in our souls, and let us look forward to that time when we shall forever be with the Lord. In his dear name we pray. Amen.